While this computer's pulling up a little slideshow that we've got of the work that we did last year, I want to say this. I'm very happy to be here and see each and every one of you, but I'm sort of sad that there's a couple that's not here, and that is Bright and Annie from over in Africa. We worked diligently trying, Brother Harry and I both, trying to get them a visa so that they could come and be here. And Bright, he talked to us over and over that he was so excited about it, wanted to be here and talk to you about the work in Africa. But the people there at the U.S. Embassy were not very helpful and friendly. They felt like that if he came over, that he didn't have anything back in Malawi that would cause him to want to go back. So they denied him the visa. I believe that it was because he was bringing his wife with him. We're going to try to get him to come over again and apply for it. And this time, I'm going to try to convince him that he just needs to come by himself. We really wish that Annie could come with him. Bright speaks real good English. He is an excellent teacher and evangelist over there. And we just hope that someday that he'll be able to come over and visit with us and speak to you about the work there in Africa. We had planned on leaving after this meeting along with about the middle of next week. Brother Ron and I, Scott here, we're planning on going over and staying for the month of July. And that has come to a halt because of the fact that there's no fuel over there. There's absolutely no fuel. That country is in turmoil now. The Kwazi, the money that they have, is pretty much worthless. And it's, ours over here is getting to that point. But theirs is really of no good. The people that sell the fuel, the country buys the fuel and ships it in from Mozambique, they're not even wanting to take the Kwazi over there now. So I don't know what's going to happen. They have very limited fuel, the little minibuses, the transportation that goes around and the people ride. There's only just a very few of them that are running that can get what fuel that comes in. So even if we went over there and we went and stayed in one place and got the brother to come to us, there'd be so many of them that couldn't make it. So it's pretty much a useless cause to try to go this time. So we have postponed it. Hopefully that this will pick up a little, what's going on, it'll get a little better in the future, and we can plan another trip. So right now at present, we are not certain when we're going to go back. This little slideshow here that I put together, I don't know whether there's some of you that might have seen this, but we were there in October of last year, in 2010, and Brother Keith Moore, and I understand Brother Keith's going to be here tomorrow. He's from out in Arizona where the state's about to burn up. He's very fortunate that the fires hadn't affected them. But anyway, he's going to be here, and this is him standing right here beside the truck loaded with some Bibles. We got, I forget the number of Bibles that we bought this time, but there was, I believe it was around $18,000 that was dedicated strictly for Bibles, and that was just part of them. And that's Brother Bright standing here. This is a lady at the Bible Society that we purchased the Bibles from. This is a container where that there's a container that we have at Bright's home, and they delivered these down there to them. Chikewa is the language that they mostly speak in Malawi. Up in the northern part, Tembuka, or how you pronounce it, is the language that they speak up there in the north. So we were very fortunate to get a few of the Tembuka Bibles to send up there to them. And then the Chikewa Bibles went to the ones around in Mozambique and in Malawi. This Brother Bright, I snapped his picture. He was sitting there getting a haircut. He tried to get me to get one, but I didn't want to have enough to cut off. But anyway, this was a church building up there right north of Blantyre, and they stucco it. They put the brick up with mud, and then they come back and they try to get stucco and put on it so it won't wash down. This is just a picture of another church building. You see how the windows are so small. You get inside, and there's not much light, but they do this because of the wind, because of the rain, and I reckon they sacrifice the light to try to keep out some of the wind and the rain. You see these windows that don't say much. This is a place where we visited in Belongwick. And you see there's a ditch around it. That's the foundation. The bricks are right there beside it. And they'll burn the brick, and then they'll build the building. And we pulled up, and those just came up. We talked with them a while about the building there. This is a well. Brother Harry can tell you about all these wells. It's been put in all around different places and gardens. Now, this is a what I call a Cadillac of seats compared to a lot of them. I can tell you, most of them sit on bricks. They'll take two bricks and sit them down, and they'll sit there for hours on bricks. But these right here, they come in and they take the mud and they smooth it out, and they'll form these little pews, and they will sit on those. This is a church building that is pretty close to Blantyre. It's out a little ways, and we met one time under that tree. The first time we met under the tree, and we gave them funds to build a little building, a small number. They built it, and they run out of funds, and they light two pieces of tin finishing up the roof, and we give them the funds to get that. Here's another well with some of the brothers and sisters there. This is some of the congregations up and along. We look at the roof on the building there. That's a typical roof that we see all over. There's another building. If you notice, there's a foundation out here that the building was too small for the number of people. It had grown, and they had built this foundation out here to extend the building on out a little bit. Wish we had that problem here, but we don't. This is a church building that there's a picture of it before they stuccoed it. Mongosa, they put stuck on it, was put up with mud. This is a kind of a typical roof that we find in many places where that they don't even have the plastic. It's just, it keeps off the sun, but when it rains, they'll sit there in the rain and worship in a building like that. This is a building here that does have a roof. Trusses, and that is much better. This is a house that we rented over there, and we have not yet stayed in it. It's ready, but we was hoping to be able to stay in it this time when we went over, but due to the fact that no fuel, we're not planning on in there. This is a stack of bricks. They build a fire in it, burn them, and they make some good bricks. They're a little bit bigger than the bricks that we have here, but they got plenty of mud and plenty of knowledge to make the bricks. They don't have the mortar to put it up with that's needed to make it strong. This is a windmill that we started down at Chickwawa. They're the ones that have the garden that's very successful. And we wanted to get this thing working for them so it would aid them. But the problem was that it got so hot down there that I was getting dizzy. I couldn't stand up. I'd have to sit down. And I was very much afraid that I was going to pass out. It gets the temperature down there in the valley just gets way, way on up there. And everything we were working with, the metal, tried to handle it. It was so hot you had to have gloves. So we never did get through with it, but hopefully one day we can get that taken care of. This is a treadle pump that he's pumping water out of the well. This is a congregation up along with the people, some of the people there. That's a typical road that you're driving down, you're dodging people that's riding bicycles and walking. It's about that way at night, too, in many places. Notice that little toy? This is a little car that they make. It's typical that the children play with things that they make themselves out of whatever they can get a hold of. Here's your ambulance. This is an ambulance that we took a picture of. I saw it and I turned around and went back and took this picture. But they don't have ambulances like we have. And if you're out in the bush and you get sick, and you're subject to die, many of them just die because they don't have any way or means of getting to a doctor or what have you. But that's one I thought that was really a blessing to have that. This is little Melinda. this is one of Bright's children's child, and they named it Melinda. There's Keith with his brick-making machine. He made a brick there for Brian, and it does a good job. Now, whether they've used it since then or not, I don't know, but it really does a good job. This is a meal that we were eating with Brian, and you notice there's some eggs, and that's some tomato paste, and they have the sema that we eat, but we don't eat the meat and what have you. So that's basically the what I have on this. I got a lot of the pictures, but Brother Harry, why don't you come on in? You've been there so many times, and I want to thank Brother Harry because he introduced me to them years ago, and it's been a joy and a privilege to go over there and work with them. If you go over there and you visit these people, and if you're not a changed person, you come back, there's something wrong with you. I've talked to Tim. He was wanting to explain a little bit about how well blessed we are here. It's hard for me to even talk about it because of some of the things that's happened to me over there around people that were literally starving to death. So, anyway, we are truly blessed here in our place here in this country compared to what those folks over there have. They don't have anything. We went to places where that they just absolutely had nothing. Sleeping on the ground, sleeping out in the open. And when you see them, they just happy. They're happy people. And they'll sit there and listen and want to know, ask questions about the Lord. And they just, it's a blessing to be around these people. And I always look forward to going back. And just being with them and sharing what little I can do, which is very little. But, it's truly a privilege. Whenever we go to the house and lay down in our bed, our mattress, we need to think about those who are laying down on the floor. It's not even as good as this carpet here. They have a mat to lay on. And we need to remember that and thank the good Lord. And all these things that we claim to be blessings over here, they're truly not. I'm telling you, they're not blessings because there's so many things over here that keep us away from the Lord, ball games, all of these different things that we have access to. They're really not blessings. We see that, the fact that when you have a meeting over there, there's just hundreds of them get together, and they're so thirsty and hungry to hear what the Lord has got to say through His Word. And that's a joy. That makes us feel good. Brother Hale, Ronnie, come on. Add to what I'm sorry, I took too long.
I'm go ahead and do it. Go ahead. Nah, that's okay.
What's the temperature like during the Sunday morning worship service?
It depends on what time you go. At this time of the year, that's why I wanted to go in July. July now is summertime here, but it's wintertime over there. So at night, where we stay at on the mountain, it's probably, it's down to about, 65, 70 degrees, then up to about 85 in the daytime. But then in October, November, December, wintertime here, summertime over there, and down in the valley, Chippewa, it'll get up to 110. That's where we're putting that windmill in, so.
They don't have a lobby at the church house to restroom.
Their restrooms are a hole in the ground with a little bit of straw around it. They're short people to start with, and it comes up to right about here. So it's out behind the building if you're lucky, and that's what they have for a restroom.
Describe those benches again.
Those what?
Those benches you're talking about.
Those benches, I don't know how to describe it other than the bricks are about the size of this Bible and about so thick, and they'll put two of them down and sit on them. And I know from being with Brother Harry that we have been, he has talked and talked and talked. I don't know how many hours, Harry, you talked in a continuous. I couldn't hold out as long as Harry could hold out. But they would sit there on those bricks for hours listening to what he had to say. So it's amazing.
Sometimes that gray is mud, and sometimes it's like a 16th of an inch of concrete that somebody's given and they'll plaster over that. But it's just bricks with mud around it is all it is. And it's hard.
No back.
No back. And it's tough. They'll tell me and Danny, I don't know if they do Harry this way, but they'll bring us a chair or something from one of their houses, and they'll say, I know a fat boy can't sit on ground. Because I always feel bad sitting in a chair when they're sitting on that, but they said, no, you can't do it.
Harry, come on in
and
tell them about the...
I just add one thing to what Brother Danny said. We got really ambitious one time when we were over there, and we had three places we were going to go in one day. And, of course, roads, you can't time out anything. And by the third place that we had gotten to, a little old church up on in the middle of nothing, and there was probably 150 people there, and we found out they'd been waiting, what was it, 8 or 9 hours for us to come. And they just sat there really patiently and waited, and then, you know, I got up and tried to talk a little bit, and Danny said I talked way too long, but you basically just tell them the gospel story again. And of that 120, there was, I think, 49 came forward that one time. And, you know, if you ask people in the United States to wait 5 minutes, they get all bent out of shape, and if they can't drive their car, there's no way somebody would walk to come to church. And ain't no way anybody'd sit and wait 8 hours for the preacher to get there. You know, and it's just amazing the difference in attitude. And once at a little church we went to, and I always get upset because they all want to pile in the truck when you get done, and I'm hungry by the time we get done, and I don't want to eat in front of them. And there'll be, you know, 20 or 30 try to pile in that little Ranger. And this one guy had a bicycle, and he wanted to ride home. Well, I was fit to be tied. I didn't do it in front of him, but I told Danny, I said, why can't he just ride his bicycle home? That is ridiculous. He rode it here, he can ride it home. And Danny's like, just calm down. And he threw that bike in the back, and he got in, and we took to driving. And driving. I said, Danny, he's forgot where he lives. We drove. And I believe it was a little over 50 kilometers, if I'm not mistaken, back to the trading center. And when we got back there, then he got out, and he was going to ride then the other 8 or 10 kilometers on.
40 miles.
It was 40-some miles altogether. And I think it took him 2 days to get there on that bike. And it just because he wanted to hear. He just wanted to hear. And, you know, that really puts you in place when something like that happens. And, you know, there's probably somebody getting upset right now because they're thinking we're going to talk past their lunch hour. And... to think about the people over there. Yeah, I could do that for quite a while. But it's just the added, and the things that we can do, anything we can do for them is just, you know, you just want to do all you can. But at the same time, you realize you just can't help everybody. But, you know, the Lord wants us to help our brothers and sisters. He wants us to do things for us. And I just appreciate the fact that these guys have let me be a little team part of their little team part. And hopefully the Lord will continue to bless them. But really, I think in a lot of ways they're better off than we are, because they depend on the Lord and love the Lord. And they just want to know what's true. But here you go.
I'm not talking about how much time do we have
there? If we want to stay on schedule 5 minutes, if you go five, ten over, it's not going.
All right. We can tell our stories, but I will tell one that ties in what you said. Years ago, we were at a place to hold a meeting. Of course, we were in a truck and had a good crowd, big crowd there. Some of them had come from a long way. And one group we realized had come 2 days, take them 2 days to get from their house to where we were. And I did not know this until later on, but we were going to be at their place 2 days later. And sure enough, 2 days later, we drove up to where they are, where they were from. They were just walking back home. They spent 4 solid days walking to hear us preach. Now that's just unbelievable, but that happens. The largest crowd I remember we've ever had was between 1,500 and 2,000. And that's too many. But, I mean, the whole area is just absolutely full of people. And the problem is, too often the women are cooking, they don't get here, and the children don't either. I mean, this one place I'm thinking about, we were 5 solid hours together meeting there. Had the Lord's Supper, and it took about 45 minutes to have Lord's Supper. And then we had, I don't know how many vessels. We'd fill them up, take them out, fill them up again. It took 45 minutes for Lord's Supper. But we really don't like that big crowd, because that way you can't get to everybody. If we can have 150 to 200, it's a lot better. You can get the women and children all listening, and you can visit people, and you can ask questions. Have them ask questions, which we do. We stop at our teaching quite often and let the male members ask questions, and they do. They love to ask questions. And it's good questions, too, things that they don't know and they want to know, and it helps us know what they need. I won't talk much long on that because they've already done this. Let me mention rapidly, though, the Malawi area, and that's Malawi and Mozambique to the south and Tanzania to the north, 3 countries they were working in. As far as I'm able to see from everywhere I've been, those are the most dedicated and poor people we work among. And their dedication is just outstanding. Like you said, they may be hungry. They may not know what they're going to eat the next day. But they'll be there, cheerful. They shake your hand, they'll smile. And that little baby held his arm, unusual. It seemed like he was admiring Brother Danny. But I've had him bring a little baby up to shake the hand. That baby would scream, top his horse. He'd never seen a white man. He didn't know where we were. But anyway, that little baby showed good attention to you. But I want to go a little bit further. In Mexico now, we're having some progress being made that we haven't had lately. We have some new churches down 2 days' drive below Tucson. A new area working in there. It's growing, doing good. We have a brand new church at Nogales, which is right on the border of the United States and Mexico. We've had some problems, and the brother can tell you about some problems we've had. You can't trust everybody. And once in a while you find that we've been working with people that they're crooks. We don't know what to start with, later we'll find out. So then I wanted Nogales in that way. The brother have all left him and gone to start a new congregation. It's growing, prospering. We had about 11 baptisms recently over there. And he's left by himself. He was a cook. He was teaching things we did not know he was teaching. We found out later on he'd been teaching for years behind our backs about divorce and marriage, things of that kind. And also liberalism as far as women teachers and so on. He'd been around those things, which we did not know until until recently. And so you'll find that kind of thing happen. But in the meantime, we have also some churches over there in the area to the Atlantic Ocean on the other side of Mexico. And we're probably going to go back there in a few months, waiting to see my brother now that may be going back home there. We'll work with him on some new churches in that area. And then Lord willing, talking about Malawi again, if the gas situation gets to where we can obtain gas, it's not available now. There's no point in going because you can't drive anywhere if you don't have gas. Unless you got a real good bicycle, then I'm not. And boy, I used to ride all over the place, but not anymore. I plan to go back in December, and I think Danny and others plan to go in the meantime if they get a chance with gas to go back there. But we appreciate very much all the brethren who are supporting the work. It's a marvelous work. It's a good work. It's productive work. People are baptized all the time, whether we're there or not, and establishing new churches, and we're just so thrilled that the Lord's working in those areas, and we have just a little hand in it. And we couldn't go and couldn't be a part of it unless you people here support us. So we appreciate your support, and also your prayers, and your suggestions, too, the work that we're doing. I've said enough. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.